Well, good evening, everybody. How'd it get to be 6 o'clock already? Yeah, that's my opening line. And there she is.
Hello. So good to be with you, Sherry.
Yes. So good to be with you. Dr. Carrie Madej, who comes from absolute obscurity into like bursting onto the scene and becomes famous all over the world in a matter of like a couple of months.
Wow. It's the time, isn't it?
And isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Now, when?
If not who, you, right?
Wow, we need every one of us we can get, that's for sure.
You know, I think I saw your very, very first video that you did. You were standing like in a doorway and you were you were talking. And and then when you said you were an osteopath, I got to the end of it. I texted Michelle, I go, track this woman down. Track her down.
Yeah.
I need to talk to her right away. I mean, not only is she brilliant and she's on to something really important, she's a fellow osteopathic physician.
I know.
You know?
I love our profession, Sherry. You know, it broke my heart, you know, a little bit years back where they're trying to get rid of our profession. They were passing some laws, you know. I'm proud of our profession. I really am. And our teaching has helped me greatly. It embraces spirituality. We were taught that is mind, body, and spirit. We're taught each one equally. And I had amazing teachers along the way. And so I am so thankful. And that's what made me me. So you have to give credit to all the people around. And that's why I became a teacher too, because I remember asking my attendings, why do you do this for free? And they said, well, that's because one day you'll pass it on. You'll pass on this knowledge to the next one. And yeah, so thank you for having me on this. This is great. I'm happy to be a fellow osteopath.
Do you, did you apply to MD and DO schools? Because I only applied to DO schools. And so I wondered if you just
You know, I did to what? You know what I did? It was a military school. Thank God I did not get in there. I don't know what I was thinking, you know?
You weren't thinking. That's the problem.
But you have to understand, I'm from Dearborn. I was born and raised in Dearborn. Dearborn has 50% of us are osteopaths in Dearborn. So I grew up only with osteopathic physicians. I didn't really know it was anything different. And I can tell you that even when I came to the South in Georgia, I was the first osteopath in the training institutions there. And they kept telling me, wow, you're so good. We should try to get you an MD after your name. I said, I would never do that. I said, I'm proud of who I am. I don't want the MD. They didn't understand, you know. I'm like, I am so proud of what I am. I actually taught them. I gave them classes. We did adjustments in the class and showed them.
Oh, wow.
So interesting. Yeah.
You know,
I don't know why I thought I was going to go in the military. That was a crazy idea.
I don't know. Well, we all have crazy ideas once in a while, right? Like, I was going to join Doctors Without Borders because being an ER doc, I so wanted to go work in a war zone. I so wanted to work. I wanted to go spend 4 months at Maryland Shock Trauma, which for those of you that are listening to us do doctor talk here, Maryland Shock Trauma is in Baltimore and is the largest it's the largest national trauma center in the country. They have incoming all the time from all over the Northeast. And I was really, really good at trauma. So I wanted to go spend 4 months at Maryland Shock Trauma, and then I wanted to join Doctors Without Borders and go to like Afghanistan or somewhere.
God your plans didn't pan out.
Yes, that's why I'm telling you that, right? And it was because I was so good at trauma, and I just really wanted to test my skills. And thank God, I was the director of the emergency department, and they wouldn't let me out of my contract for 4 months. And I was single at the time, and I owned a house, and I couldn't figure out how to pay my bills while I was gone, you know?
Thank God.
Yeah. Yes, God works in mysterious ways, right? It's like amazing.
Wow. Yeah, when you're young and dumb, huh?
Yeah, and that's interesting. I didn't know that you were a Michigan girl. you know? Yeah. So, because when I did, you know, for those of you guys that don't know, I mean, when we go to medical school, we do 2 years of we did almost 3 years at Kirksville. You're in there a lot longer. And you 3 years of didactic work, and then you set up these rotations at various hospitals to get a clinical experience, and then to try to decide from your clinical experience which type of specialization you want to do. Well, I did all of my clinical rotations in the various osteopathic hospitals in the greater Detroit area, all of them.
Okay,
I was there for 8 months. I went to all of them.
I loved them. I had the best training. We did you know, osteopathic adjustments in the hospitals that back then, you know, people with pneumonia and things like that. That was normal. We talked to them. It was body, mind, and spirit. We would go talk to them about their life, and you just don't get that anymore. I was very blessed that I got that kind of training. It helped a lot.
Yeah, that's
great.
Awesome.
Great attendings. Yeah.
So, did you grow up a girl of faith? Did you grow up in the church, or did that something transcend you along the way?
Well, my parents had me young, and so they were teenagers, and I didn't really grow up with religion. But I can tell you this: that when I was 3 years old, you know, they tell you things when you're doing something bad when you're a kid. They're like, oh, Carrie, you know, if you're bad, you know, God will punish you. And I remember sitting with my hand on my head going, God doesn't punish us. God loves us. God is love. We punish ourselves. And so I would start preaching to them, because I remember that age thinking, I know they know God. They must know God. And so I remember other people thinking this was kind of cute, this girl preaching so young. And so I said I wanted to go to their churches. So I started going to other people's churches. Anyway, this led me on this path of trying to find out what is God, Jesus Christ. And in the end, I went to theology courses, everything. Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, I read all that stuff. And in the end, I went back to what I thought as a child. God is love. And God's always been with me. And I've had some crazy times in my life, as I'm sure everybody has. And I am only here by the grace of God, I'll tell you that. And I'm here, and he saved me for this moment, I believe, to spread the word and the fire in our hearts. Because you know, Sherry, that this time it is not just about us, about not being for vaccines or against vaccines. We were put here at this time, at this place, for a special purpose. And it's because we are fighting a battle in the spiritual realm. And I know you know that. And I love that you are taking this on a next level. I saw part of what you said earlier today on the Facebook. You were with Dolores Cahill. And I'm sorry, I forgot the other people.
I'm Christian Northrup.
Yes.
Christian Northrup, yes. Yeah.
You were speaking the truth. I was like, amen, hallelujah. You couldn't hear me, but I was here in the Dominican Republic going, yeah, it was my little time of worship listening to you. So thank you.
So you're back in Dominican Republic now.
I mean, I'll come back to the U.S. very soon again. So,
Well, good for you.
Go back and forth while I can.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, I'm thinking I'm taking some time off in January, and I'm hoping I can fly. I mean, it's so hard for me. This has been the hardest thing of all of this COVID stuff for me personally, has been to not be able to get in an airplane. I mean, this is the girl who has flown 75 to 100,000 miles a year for 27 years. I mean, I'm just shy of being a 2 million miler with United, and I just haven't been in an airplane since March the 9th, and I just feel really wing clipped. And so I'm going to make a decision. Yeah, I've got I got 10 days marked off in January, but it's going to be very last minute. It's going to be based on politics and what the environment is and all that stuff, you know.
Been thinking about starting a pirate ship.
That was interesting listening to Doris talk today about some of the people she's talking about, or talking to her, talking about starting an airline. You know, for all of the people who don't want to vaccinate,
people
to fly,
here are talking
you know?
About that, and some of the other islands are like they're gonna do their own private service. I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. I'm sure we're resilient enough and smart enough that we'll figure out something.
That's right. And God wants us to go all different places and spread the word, and so He needs to provide us an airplane.
Something, right?
Well, why don't we get started? Because you submitted three really amazing verses to talk about tonight. And for those of you who don't know that you've been living under a rock and you don't know who my special guest is tonight, this is Dr. Carrie Madej. That's just like I said at the beginning, you know, came out of absolute obscurity in this whole sick thing. And now everybody knows her. She's a global mover and shaker, bringing forth unbelievable stuff that nobody had talked about before and has set the world on fire about knowing what's in this crappy vaccine they want to do to us. And so when she started talking, you know, when Michelle said, you know, when you were talking about being a Christian and wanting and all this, it's like, oh, invite her, see if she can share some of her time with us to talk on, to come to one of our happy hours. So that's how she ended up here. So you started with, you know, Ephesians 3 and then 1 John and then John. So all of those must come together for you somehow. Do you want to, you go ahead and start. Where would you like to start?
So Ephesians 3:17, and just so you know, I really learned about God and Jesus Christ through my personal experiences. It wasn't the church, you know. Ephesians 3:17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love that. Yes, say all three, and then I can put them together.
Okay,
this one. And 1 John 4:9-11, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I might have pronounced that wrong. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's really that last line that stands out. And then John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I love that. So I look at this and I tell people when, and how I feel it is that, you know, that the roots are the most important thing, that, you know, being rooted in Christ, being rooted in love, and having that firmness, that foundation that doesn't shake you, that never, you're never wavering, because it's that love of Christ and of God in our hearts that will save us in the end. And knowing that you have to believe in that, you really have to believe in your heart. And it takes a lot of work. It's not easy. And it takes togetherness to do that. But that love, that fire, there's a fire, right? And that frequency, once we tap into it, and we can do it because, just as they say, this is the verse says, is that you can do greater things than me. Christ says that. So when you think that we're just this peon little thing, these little beings, we're not. We are made in the likeness of God. This goes back to my fury at these people that think they can just manipulate our DNA and our genome, that it's nothing to them. And they're doing this, and it's not fair to the general public, because the general public is typically not educated about science. And even doctors, like we talked about, we don't get that much about genetics in our teaching. So most people don't understand how precious the genome is. It is the code, the blueprint for life given to us by our Father in heaven. This is us. And we are made in the likeness of God. They're trying to manipulate that. But knowing that we have God all in us, and that if we look and see what Jesus Christ, you think he's an amazing person? Yes, he is. But guess what? We are like him. We could do things greater than he did, right? So what they're trying to do to us in medicine right now, in science and in the world, is just wrong. It's not just wrong physically, it's wrong on a spiritual level. And then it's overwhelming. It gets overwhelming for me. I get in a dark place sometimes when I research, man, I get sad, I cry, I do. And I have to take breaks. And then I have to come back, and this is how I get my strength. I get back because I read the word again, and I remember again. And it fills me, and it fills my heart, because I remember that we are not alone, that God is with us, that Jesus, I call Jesus Christ Yeshua. Yeshua is with us in my heart, in our hearts. And I want so bad for everybody to feel what I feel in my heart. I tell people, I say this and I'm preaching because the love and the fire and the hope is here. And I say, I don't know where it comes from except for God, because it's not from me. I'm just human. It comes from me and it comes out. And I'm here to preach and tell you and to witness and to say that this is true. The word is true. We need to live it and learn it and love it, because this is what will save us. You know, I know I'm babbling.
No, keep going. Keep going. You're exactly right. Keep going.
You know, it is the time is now. We've been being gentle with our words and walking on eggshells. And I love that you said that, Sherry, today, that you said that, you know, you've been being gentle with your words and how you're talking to people and holding their hand, but, you know, no more. And that's kind of how I feel. The time is ticking away, and we are coming to this monumental place of the world, of the history of us, the written history of us. And we can't just be nice about this anymore. We just have to start, you know, screaming from the rooftops, taking each other by the shoulders and shaking at each other and saying, wake up from this hypnosis. See what is going on. We are on the battlefield already. And the battle has started. The war has started. Wake up to what is happening to us. It is not just for our bodies. It's a war for our bodies, our minds, and our souls. And it's not just us saying this esoterically. I mean, we have lots of examples of people saying these things on video, of going to meetings, of research papers, you know, the research papers of how to capture a soul. I mean, these people are crazy out there, right? They think they can do it. They think they can cheat God. They think they can do this through technology, through a low frequency. They're wrong. They are so wrong. They will cause a lot of pain and devastation. The thing is that we have been given free will, choice, a beautiful gift, a very beautiful gift. And so if people ask, why are we going through all this? Well, because of that, we have free will. And now we're given the choice. What do you choose? The line is drawn. And also, I think that we need this. We need this trial because we become disconnected from one another. We have become, I call it, less human. And now I got lulled into that too. I became less connected from other people and, you know, just focused on your thing and maybe not caring about myself or others like I should have, until this woke me back up, made me come back to what was important, maybe come back to looking at the word again when I became, you know, complacent. I think that we need to find our heart again, that spirit. We are beautiful, shining spirits and beings. I can tell you that everything I've learned in medicine, everything I experienced in the hospitals and the training, the most miraculous things were because of the spirit, things that I can't explain. I tell people that I don't know exactly how something happens and how people heal or what happens. It's a miracle. It's really our spirit. And the things that I can't explain, it's just amazing. So I know it's there. And I know, I lose my words because I don't know how to explain what's in my heart right now.
Oh, I think you're doing a beautiful job. I think you're doing a beautiful job. You are.
Okay. So I get teary-eyed. When you feel that in your heart and you want to convey that to people, it's not, we don't have the words in our human language. but what we can do is start by every week. I tell people, take baby steps. Start meeting with each other in each other's homes physically. You go to each other's homes, a neighbor, family, whatever, and you cook with each other. You talk, no phones or anything.
No
masks.
You
pray. Yeah. You worship. You hug each other. You kiss. You are with each other like we were supposed to be, because everything they tell us not to do is what we should do. Because our human hearts, I love saying this, by Heart Math Institute, shows that our human heart, the electromagnetic energy combined, is 100,000 times more powerful than the brain. We have an energy that is measurable. Go to Heart Math Institute. I love them. So an average human being, that energy goes out 6 feet. Isn't that interesting? 6 feet is what they want us to keep away from. It is a measurable energy, guys. This is proven by science. And some powerful people, they said, could go out several kilometers. Is that not amazing? So imagine what just a few people can do together. It is, I love science. I think science is amazing, because if you really get into the real science, it proves spirit. It proves God. Einstein said that. Tesla said that. Many other famous scientists said the more they realize, the more they learn science, the more it proved God. And that's for me too. I love that. Imagine that energy together. That's unbeatable. And that's a high frequency. Love is the highest frequency. It beats out that technology. So whatever light year sci-fi technology they have, it doesn't matter. If we remember who we are, if we tap into that heart energy, that love energy, that frequency that we all have, because God is in all of us. If we remember, and it's our choice, we freely choose that. In a twinkling of the eye, it changes.
And so what you said is so true. And I think that whole thing about this, you know, who was it that told me? It may have been Catherine Austin Fitz who said to me, I've heard it before, but recently when she and I have gotten to be good friends, sort of like meeting you. I mean, Catherine and I had known of each other for years. And then finally she invited, you know, I tracked her down on Twitter, and she invited me to be on her show for the Solari Report. And she said, and I'm sure other people have said too, they said, remember, you know, what it talks about in the Bible, about the falling away of people and the separations, and that there will come a day when, you know, man will be against woman and parent and child, and everybody will separate each other out. And that, you know, what we need to do is connect from the heart. And she said, well, remember, the bad guys can read the Bible too, which yeah. brings to the point of the bad guys can read the science too. The bad guys can know that the 6 foot distancing is important for what's about our map.
They know that.
They know what are the most neurotoxic things that can be injected into the body. You know, Suzanne Humphreys used to say a lot. She used to say that she thought that autism and some of the severe vaccine injuries that we see in some of these kids, that the vaccines were specifically designed to be near death appearances. Because she said if they made them strong enough that a bunch of kids died, well, then the gigs would be up. But if they made them just toxic enough, not only to make them chronically ill and customers for life, but to affect their frontal lobe, which is the area where you connect with your higher power and your spirit, then one at a time, it'd be like just picking them off, little at a time.
I remember me and my sisters and my brother all having horrible febrile seizures, and the doctor saying, that's just normal. You know, but we did have some good pediatricians where they would let my mom take, we would have a long lag time. We were one of the ones that had very few for a long time, and very few medications, but still that was the thing. You had to get the vaccines. But I remember that was traumatic as a child going through that.
Yep. And so if you can't connect with your higher power, and, you know, we've got the 6 foot distancing, and all of these things are now totally designed to make us be not human. So back to your point about getting together, you know, that's one thing that Pam Popper is advocating, you know, in her Thursday afternoon talks, is to pick a day, an afternoon, an evening, you know, it just has to be a couple of hours to get together with a bunch of people, physically get together, not Zoom. Yeah. Not Instagram, get together in somebody's living room, shake hands, laugh, high yes. five, hug, talk about, you know, tell silly stories, you know, different things to remind us who we are as humans, because they're doing everything they can to separate us. And that's why going back to these verses that you know, Dr. This is for anybody that doesn't know, who's lived under a rock, to know that this is Dr. Carrie Madej, you know, fellow osteopathic physician. We're about halfway through our night, so I want to go back to the verses that you picked out because they're so resonating. Ephesians, somebody wants to write this in the chat. It's Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. And then 1 John 4, 9 to 11. Then John 14, verse 12. What translation are you using?
English Standard Version.
English Standard Version, okay. Yeah. Because I want to go back to where it says in 1 John 4, 9 through 11, where it says, love consists of this, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. We did a happy hour on that back in the summer sometime. And that he sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins.
That's so the way you pronounce it.
So propitiation, if you look it up, means the state of being satisfied, settling a debt. So he sent his son to settle the debt for our sins. Settle the debt for our sins. I mean, and then, dear friends, if God loved us in this way, how we must also love one another, which goes to what you were saying about hugging and touching and all those things.
Meeting with each other.
You know?
People are such in a fear state. They become more isolated. And that is what will ruin us by following through with that fear state, being that isolated, because that weakens us and it draws us away from our true nature, our true spirit of what we are, what makes us powerful, that makes us tick, the je ne sais quoi of us. So we need to remember that, because if God loved us, we should also love one another. And everybody's got a gift. Do some, you know, for me, when I feel bad, it's not just altruistic. I start doing charity. And, you know, I start giving, and all of a sudden, that give, it comes right back to you even more. Start, make a little crass roll or banana. I make banana breads, lots of bananas here. You know, give it to some people just because. You know what? Somebody needed something fixed. So what? I can do it. I don't care. They needed a ride. I don't ask for anything in return. You just start bringing people over your house. I got a pie. I don't know. Just anything. Maybe you could sew something. Maybe you can draw something. Everybody has something they can do. Start doing something that you can do and give. Do it one time. I guarantee you something will spark inside of you, because we forgot that, right? We become so electronic and digital. Nobody writes anything anymore. A handwritten note is beautiful. It's so meaningful to me. Wow. We forgot those things. You don't have to do anything great. Those small things are what will save us in the end. And those things will light that little tiny spark inside of our hearts again and make us come back alive. And before you know it, it's not going to take that great of an effort. Something will happen. I always call it, it's like the kindling and the fire, where all of a sudden, you're trying to get that fire started, and all of a sudden it goes, phew, and then that's it. It starts.
Well, there's two things I want to say about that. One is, you know, we talked about this last Friday night, I guess, on Happy Hour, that I said that, you know, now this year more than ever, you know, don't do this little perfunctory, Merry Christmas, how are you? I'm fine. And don't send electronic Christmas cards this year. Yeah. Spring a couple of bucks for stamps. Go out and buy a box of Christmas cards, and don't just sign, you know, Merry Christmas, Dr. Tenpenny, or Merry Christmas, Sherry. Send it up. Yeah. Take the extra 2 or 3 minutes that you, and write something personal. Write something, you know, dear, your best friend, whatever your best friend's name is. You know, I've been sitting here thinking about, this has been a really challenging year, and it made me think back to when we were in college and some of the silly things we did, and maybe list a thing or two. And then that becomes so personal to that person.
It's
and suddenly
very
that
meaningful.
Memory, that memory comes back, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten all about that. You know, and so suddenly that really, in this year of shutdown and separations and no Thanksgiving and states that are canceling Christmas, and, you know, they're not allowed to have the nativity in Washington, D.C. out in public square, you know, all these different things that they're doing. I mean, we tried to buy a nativity set here locally, couldn't find one anywhere in any of the stores we went to,
wow.
You know, and so there's all of these things to separate us from God, separate us from each other, separate us from friends, mask us up so we can't see each other's faces. And we hear the little mumble thing.
Yeah.
And separate us away from our heart chakras, you know, all of those things. And so this year, more than ever, I was really encouraging people, and I'll say it again, pardon me, that we need to do those little extra things. Like you said, make some banana bread, bake some cookies, some gluten-free cookies, right? Bake some cookies, or, you know, go and just hand out things on the street. I mean, people that just don't even know, you know, just little bitty things mean
you
so
just,
much, right?
Some stranger, you give them a heartfelt, you know, compliment. So not just like, oh, you look good. No, if there's something a little bit different that you really mean it from the heart, say that, a compliment. It could be a stranger, you know, that can make their day. It's just little things, you know, people forget to connect with one another. I know that is the answer to what is going on in our world. That's what gives us the strength.
Yeah. So do you have family down there where you are?
No, I don't. I don't know what I'm going to do because this served me for what I needed for 5 years. And now I don't know which way I'm going to go because I had the ability to go back and forth all the time. And now that I'm faced with the idea that I may not be able to go back and forth, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I have to do a lot of soul searching.
Wow. Well, the other thing that you said is about, you know, throwing the seeds out there, which is maybe I wanted to look it up, you know, where it actually is. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, about cast your bread upon the waters and it will come back to you multiple fold, you know? And so it's the metaphor that's probably seen more, casting your bread or sowing seeds so that it comes back to you, you know, shake down, push together. I think it was in Matthew where it says, when you do good things, it will come back to you multiple fold, shake down, push together and multiplied back onto what you've done. So in your giving, you get a tenfold return on every single thing you do, including just giving somebody a smile.
You know,
when you can't see anybody anymore, if you refuse to wear a mask and you're out and about, I mean, one of the main things that you can do, I don't know why the birds are going crazy up there, but they are. And so that is to, that when you sow righteousness, you get it back. When you sow love, you get it back. When you sow hate, you get it back.
Yeah.
When you sow mean and evil, you get it back. It's like the great boomerang effect. So every single one of those little gifts, those little things you do, like we talked on last Friday night about just offering somebody a hand. I mean, how people want to shake hands. You know, Vlad from Hugs Over Mask would say that he would walk up to people on the street and they would look so sad and despondent and he doesn't wear masks. And he would say, may I give you a hug? And some people just literally started crying because they were so human touch deprived. So like what you were saying, Carrie, about all of us have talents. We don't have to have money. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have skills. We can just be human.
Yeah.
We can just be human.
That's right. I still grab people and they tell me, no, I don't touch. I still grab them. I said, well, I do. And before they can say anything, I give them a big hug. And they're like, oh, and all of a sudden they relax. They're like, oh, thank you.
I know. And we do that in our office. In fact, all of my patients, I always say, we practice social non-distancing here. And they're like, thank God. You know, people will come in and I'll walk into a patient room and they'll be sitting there with their mask on. I'll go, you don't have to wear that for me. And they're like, oh, thank God. You know, and they'll take the thing off, you know.
Exactly.
Because we've got people so conditioned that they have to do this. And our little office has become kind of a safe space for people that don't want to do all of this stuff. They understand it. And so, you know, doing this thing about loving one another, you know, now more than ever, I think that's so important. So important.
Yeah. And I did like the analogy to the tree all the time. There's always analogies to trees and roots. The roots are always there. They're stable. They're secure. They're the same, right? That's what I always imagine anytime I get diverted, you know, do this, do that, wear the mask, do that, don't wear the mask. I always focus myself and know, be the roots, you know. You know what's important. I think back to the word. And for my house, you know, same as, you know, your office, anyone in my house, no mask. We do what we always have done. There's hugging, there's closeness. If you don't want to do that, you don't have to be in the house. But this house, these are the roots. This is the way it is. We say That's prayer beautiful. Before. We say grace. We're thankful to God. Hug, kiss, whatever. That's not what you want to do. My roots stay here. That's what I do.
That's beautiful. Which goes back to, I want to go into that John 14:12 that you did. Because when I look at verses, I kind of like to put them in context. And I want to read a little bit further. I mean, she picked one of the other verses that Carrie picked out. I mean, I liked, this was from, I believe that I did this from the Revised Standard, which is the version that I kind of like. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. I mean, he commanded the disciples to go out, heal the sick, lay on hands, cast out demons, you know, do what you need to do to these people. And we would do greater than he.
That is
he
says beautiful. That,
you know, and we will do even greater works in these because I'm going to the Father. And when he went to the Father, what did he do? Sent us the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Sent us what will always remain. And then if you go on, you know, to verse 13, it says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Yeah. So it's all the way through the Gospels. It's all about ask. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and ask in my name. And there's two or more among us that are praying. And that's why we started Happy Hour. So we could all get together and talk about all this.
It's beautiful. You know? Yeah. That's powerful. So thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's like I said today when I was on that conference call, it was Amani, Mama Lucia set it up with her group. And it was me, Christian Northrup, and Dolores Cahill. It was a Facebook Live. And what Carrie was alluding to earlier was when I said that I believe there's been this spirit of fear that's been cast across to everybody. And when people like phase out, they can't hear you. I mean, I saw a little video just a little while ago. I get a lot of my news off of Twitter. I don't post very much. Amanda does all the posting for me, but I kind of like get, I'm on this WhatsApp group, and there's a guy on this one group. He must live on Twitter, but he like curates the best of stuff. So it's like right there. So you don't have to spend a lot of time. You just go on WhatsApp and read the stuff he puts there. But there was this video, a short, it was like a couple minutes of a guy in Costco in Southern California that stood up on a table with a megaphone and was saying, you guys don't have to do this. Don't let them do this to you. Take off your mask. And the Costco employees were like making people stand away from him. But what was amazing to me that there wasn't one single person there, Carrie, not one. And the store was pretty full that took off their mask. Or even walked over to him and gave him a thumbs up.
Wow.
He was just trying to get people awake. So I think that what we do, what you do, what I do, what Dolores Cahill and and Amani does, and what Christian Northrup and Judy Mikovits and Sidney Powell, what she's doing in our politics.
Wow, yeah.
Standing up and being so strong. And
amazing.
And I know, she's just being amazing. And I said to somebody the night before last, I said, have you kind of noticed how many strong women are coming to the front right now?
I thought that a while ago.
Making a big difference?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like the women who are saying enough already, you know, we're being really strong women doing these things, you know?
That is true, yeah.
So speaking from your heart, Carrie, what is the most important Christmas message you want to share to everybody? Because there's hundreds of people listening to us tonight. And then we'll let you lead us in prayer as we close out for tonight. But if you, I mean, just from your heart, I mean, because you've already spoken so eloquently from your heart and so genuinely from your heart. I mean, we're so genuine. And we're, you know, 9 days away from Christmas. And so if you want to, and there's people on here from all over the world. They're from all over the world here. So, you know, people that popped in and said hello from Turkey, hello from, you know, Wales and all these things. Mm-hmm. And so what is Dr. Carrie Madej's message to the world this time of year and for Christmas? What would be your Christmas message to everybody?
Well, I think we all equate Christmas to hope, right? The birth of hope. And we need that more than ever in our life right now. That we need to remember that we were given the gift of salvation. We were given the gift of forgiveness. We were given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We were given the gift of the fire in our heart. And now is the time that we remember that. And not only just remember that, but act on it. Act on it meaning, you know, whenever I don't know what to do, I look at who Jesus Christ really was in the Bible, not what I was taught in the churches, but who he was in the Bible, how he was. He never turned other people away. He didn't think they were lower than him. He was so humble. He look at the disciples. The disciples were just average people, you know, and they messed up a lot, you know. They were not the people that you thought would be the disciples when you really know about them, when you really understand who they were, when you really understand Jesus Christ. It's amazing and it's so uplifting when you know that. And he was here to teach us that, yes, he's like us, but we could do greater things than he's doing. We forgot that. We need to remember that. This year is the time to remember who we are and what we are and what we are capable of and to start acting on it. And if you don't know what to do, start reading the Bible. Start reading who Jesus was and what he did and really read those words, not what you were taught in the churches or whoever taught you. You need to sit down and become and have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way I learned, the only way that my fire was lit in my heart was when I finally understood who he was from reading the word and then start acting on it. And then all of a sudden this light and fire comes into you, right? And then that's contagious. And then you teach to other people and again, that kindling lits and that fire lits and that fire of love, that fire of salvation, that fire of Jesus Christ, of our hope, our love and faith will the answer will come to us. And it's powerful. So start reading the word and who he is and reach out personally, physically to people like we talked about earlier.
Wow. Well, I think that nails it. You know, the whole idea of hope. Because, you know, if they've actually done studies on this, that people that lose hope, they wither away and die. But if you've got hope in Lord Jesus, and you got hope in God, and you know where you're going after you leave here, there's never any reason to wither up and die, ever. There's never any reason to be afraid. There's never any reason to have fear-based anything. But to have that hope of eternal life because of the gospel of Christ and what he did for us. I mean, this verse, I'll say that word again, propitiation for our sins, right? That God sent his son to be his propitiation, which is paid the debt in full for us. Can you guys imagine all of you that have children, like suddenly just taking one of your most beloved children and going, go over there and die for them. They hate me. They scoff me. They have nothing to do with me. They don't obey me. I try to help them. They shut me away. But you, little Johnny or little Joe, I want you to go over there and die for them. Amazing when you think about that, isn't it? Just think about it. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for who you are in the world. Thank you for in our movement. Thank you for who you are into the osteopathic profession. Thank you for just forever who you are. So do you want to like close out with a prayer tonight? You want to lead us in prayer tonight?
You know, I'm terrible at prayers. I can speak.
Just go from your heart.
Okay.
All right. Just go from your heart. Doesn't have to be long. It just has to be you because you're already the most, it's just, you're beautiful as a human being. You're beautiful and you're just genuine. So just be genuine. Just be genuine.
Okay. Father God in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for this amazing conversation, opening our eyes and our hearts to what is really important in life, making us look forward to this Christmas season and the hope that it provides and the hope that it reminds us of. And please help us to give us guidance and knowing how to open the eyes and the hearts and the minds of our brothers and sisters around the world. Let us know and help guide us in how we can worship and witness to others and spread that fire of love in our hearts to one another. In your name, amen.
Amen. See, that was beautiful.
I get that stage fright with the prayer thing. You know what happens? I think that it was like one of those movies. They're like, say the prayer. I'm like, oh.
No, yeah. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I don't know if I'll talk to you again before Christmas. So if in case I don't, God bless. I hope you're exactly where you want to be for Christmas, for the holidays, and who you want to be with. And we've got a big year ahead of us. And so stay safe. Stay safe in terms of just your physical safety and keep doing what you're doing, because what you do for all of us is just a gift from God, Carrie.
Yes.
You're just landing into this whole mess that we've been doing for the longest period of time. And here you come.
Yeah.
You just did the next biggest, the next most important thing for the sake of humanity. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. I love this. And I'm honored to be with you. So thanks.
All right, guys.
Great Christmas. Bye.
Okay. So you guys have a good night. I'll see you guys Thursday night. Have a good rest of your week. And if you want to go backwards and see any of the happy hours before, just go to either to Disseminate, or you can go to happyhourwithdrt.blogspot.com, and they're all there. Love you guys. Love you, Carrie. You guys have a good night.
Bye.
Okay. Merry Christmas. Good night.